Welcome back to another episode of Rants and Rob. I know it's been a minute. We haven't posted an episode since October, but really, Robbie and I, we've been pretty busy over the last couple months, and with baseball winding down and especially a lockout, there really hasn't been much to talk about regarding the A's, especially, you know how the A's are when it comes to early offseason. They don't really do anything until January, mid-February, and we're going to touch on that along with a couple other things in this comeback episode. Robbie, how have you been over the last couple months?
Dude, I have been living my life out here in the ATX. Started my new job a few weeks ago. It's been fun. Nice to get some money in the pocket again. Getting all the BS stuff done, like getting your new state license and new ID, getting everything just kind of lined up, ready to go. It's a long process, but you know what, dude? It's worth it because Texas is great. Austin is fun. And just the last few weeks, I mean, sports in general, obviously everybody's talking about football. And last weekend was incredible. Every single game was amazing. And, Dude, I just don't – I was kind of torn with the Niners and the Packers because a part of me wants Aaron Rodgers to have a successful postseason run before he retires. But another part of me says – nah, he's kind of a dick, and he like wants things his way, and he claimed that things would be different if it was in Lambeau. The snow, the weather is different, yada, yada, yada. And then he gets his ass kicked in Lambeau and looks like shit against a Niner team who isn't very good. Like, they're decent. They're very physical for sure, but, like, Jimmy Garoppolo in an NFC Championship game? Are you serious? How did this happen?
I have no idea, honestly. I mean, when you look at that game, the Packers honestly could have been up 17-0, 24-3 at some point, and they just kept giving away opportunities, throwing interceptions, settling for field goals, and you let the Niners hang in the game, and they pull off the upset. And I'm curious to see what the Niners do with Jimmy G. I mean, everyone thinks that this is going to be his last year in San Francisco, especially with Trey Lance in the wings, ready to take over for the long run. And I know Jimmy G knows that because I've heard a couple interviews with him where the way he talks, he just knows that his time with the 49ers is coming to an end. What do you think it would take for Jimmy G to stay in San Francisco? Do you think if he gets him to a Super Bowl, maybe even winning it, would that keep him around for another season?
100%. If he gets there, they're keeping him. And, dude, even after this season, I think they probably keep him around and start him next season because, like, what else do you have to lose with? I mean, Trey Lance, in the very small amounts of bits and pieces that we've seen from him so far, he doesn't seem very prepared yet in the NFL, and that's fine. No. It's fine to be a rookie and not be totally ready for the NFL. It's a big step, obviously, from an FCS school, North Dakota State, to the NFL. I mean, we saw Carson Wentz have success from there early on, but now he's been pretty bad. Had a decent year this year. And I think Trey Lance is going to be on the same kind of path as him. It's a hard league to be good in. And Jimmy Garoppolo is showing that he can be average and they can still win. So what's the difference there? Like, if you have Trey Lance jump in for Jimmy Garoppolo, what is your ultimate difference there? If Jimmy G's already getting you to this point, why make a change? You already have the guy who can at least get you there, and that's a good thing. Everything is positive. So if they get to the NFC Championship game, which they are, I think you keep them around. And if they win this game, I mean, that's 7 in a row against the Rams, and that's 3 times this year, obviously. And it's just like, that's insane to think about because the Rams are just so, like, their firepower on offense is just insane. Yeah. And their defense is solid, and they get after you. And the Niners have just, like, kind of pushed them around. So why change a quarterback if things are working?
Maybe they just want to get to the future and, like, start building him up. That's the only reason I can really think about. I mean, you just look how Mac Jones did this year with the Patriots, but they also had Bill Belichick. And maybe they feel like he does need another year under the wing. But when I look at the Trey Lance, Jimmy G situation, it reminds me a lot of that 2000 Ravens team. I mean, they get to the Super Bowl. They win it with Trent Dilfer. And then next season, he's gone. They bring in Elvis Gerback from Kansas City. And maybe that's something similar. I mean, it's not totally similar, but that's the closest analogy I can make.
And you mentioned Mac Jones, and he kind of fell off at the end of the season, which is completely fine for rookies to do. I mean, it's scouting reports. It's just the league getting used to you again, like you were in college, where, you know, sometimes you had some bad games because the league has seen you for 4 years. But the thing with Trey Lance and the Niners is you're going to get kind of a different dynamic at quarterback, too, and sometimes it doesn't always work with receivers. And I think Jimmy G and Kittle, and especially Debo Samuel, they have a good relationship with those three guys right there.
Yeah.
And the Niners can run the ball, too. And they run the ball out of I form, just single back. They'll just line it up with usually a double tight, maybe one tight to the left or right, and they'll run zone at you. They'll run stretch. They'll run dives. And they can keep the ball and keep clock. And all Jimmy had to do in the cold, terrible weather was just throw a few slants to George Kittle, and they worked. Like, that's all Jimmy G needs to do. And Trey Lance, sure, he could probably do that. But there's no difference there, I think. And I think if you want to do that whole, like, all right, well, Jimmy got us here, but we can move on to Trey Lance because this is why we drafted him, to kind of to take over and be our franchise quarterback. But if there is a learning curve still for him to get through, then you're taking a step back. So I don't know if it's the smart call as of right now. As bad as Jimmy G can look sometimes, and he makes some terrible throws sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's comical at times. But, you know, it seems like when you need him to kind of settle down and do the job, he does it. And he's a completely average NFL quarterback. I mean, out of the four games this weekend, he's by far the worst quarterback, and he's going to be
he's going to be the
least exciting to watch. I mean, obviously it goes Patty Mahomes, and then you got Joe Burrow is pretty dang fun to watch, but Matt Stafford's better than that.
I agree.
And so, and then you have Jimmy G. So there's a huge gap, obviously, between Jimmy and those three guys. So the question remains, like, does Trey Lance close that gap? Not right now.
Not yet. I think he does bring a different dynamic to the offense, though. I mean, he's obviously quicker.
You can
run more option stuff with Trey Lance. And maybe they don't rely on Jimmy G to be as much of a game manager as they would with Trey Lance. Trey Lance, not as much of a game manager as Jimmy G is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, at the same time, we look at these two matchups this weekend, and how many guys are option quarterbacks? None of them.
That
None
is
them
true.
Are.
They all have good arms, good passers.
All of them, all of them sit in pockets, and, you know, when Mahomes has room to run, he'll do it. But he's not looking to run. He's not a Lamar Jackson. None of these guys are. None of them are Josh Allen's either. But, you know, Josh Allen can also – he's definitely – Allen's by far the best dual-threat quarterback in the league.
Oh, yeah.
But from a passing standpoint, to sit there back in the pocket, I mean, there's nobody better than Mahomes in this game right now. So
sadly.
Yeah, I know. You got to face him twice a year, sometimes three times if you get there. But, like, the whole thing with just quarterback play to me in the NFL overall, this is the reason why I'm probably eight times out of ten, the matchups between teams, I'm going to take the better quarterback in the playoffs.
Easily.
And the only time it just really, like, every time you look at matchups when the Niners have been in it, you're like, well, okay, Jimmy G has definitely not been the better quarterback in any of the games. But
no,
they find ways. And once again, this weekend, he is not the better quarterback. Stafford is, by a million miles. But you just never know. The Niners are the complete aspect of, we're going to win as a team, and we're going to win by doing the little things. And last week, they do it with special teams. And if that's what you have to do in the postseason, that's what you have to do. And
Debo Samuel.
Yeah, dude, Debo. And Jimmy isn't the reason why they won the game.
Not at all.
But he did the right things.
Oh, I agree. And I just want to give props to Kyle Shanahan and Debo Samuel, who might be the most versatile player in the NFL right now.
That's pretty good. Yeah, he could be.
What he's done this year, I mean, they do everything with him. They line him up out wide. He's a good running back, too. You could argue that he is a top 10 running back in the league right now.
He's like Cordarrelle Patterson on steroids, and just maxed out. He can do everything.
Yeah, he's insane.
They had that 3rd and 7, and they run trap with Deebo Samuel, and they get it. And I'm like, that's your number one receiver. You're just giving him the ball to run it, and he gets it. And it's like, that is a huge asset for a team, especially in the playoffs, and especially in that cold weather game. But they won't have to worry about cold weather anymore. So they got through. Honestly, in my opinion, they got through the hardest part of the playoffs, which is going to Green Bay and winning.
Oh yeah, I mean, how many people actually picked the Niners to go in there and win? I know that the Niners were 7-8 point underdogs going into that game, mm-hmm. about, and they pulled it off. And I know many people are shocked. Many people are happy because a lot of people don't like Aaron Rodgers because of his whole vaccination thing, whatever. We're not going to dive into that aspect of the whole thing. But there are a lot of happy people out there right now.
Yeah, especially shout out to Ryan Neron.
Shout out Ryan Neron.
What's the line? I'm trying to find it. What's the line for this weekend? I know the Chiefs are probably a touchdown.
I feel like the Rams are still going to be favored, despite the Niners winning the last 6 against them.
Yeah, it's only 3.5 right now for the Rams.
Let's see. Yeah, 3.5, and then Chiefs -7.
Yeah, so 3.5 and a tug and an extra point. So the funny thing is, like, as good as the Chiefs have looked the last couple of weeks, and especially last weekend, something about the Bengals just kind of makes me want to be like, like, could they – dude, because Joe Burrow just – he just gives absolutely no fucks.
Yeah.
He goes out there, and he's just so competitively arrogant because he just thinks he's going to win because he's been a winner pretty much his entire football career after he transferred from Ohio State, and he had one iffy year at LSU. Ever since he lost to UCF in that bowl game, Joe Burrow has just been a machine. And it comes down to his confidence just with Ja'Marr Chase and that relationship that they have. They don't even need, like, their defense isn't even anything special. They got a ton of guys from free agency, and they built their offense through the draft. And they've looked so good in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And I trust Zach Taylor with this team, too. And, like, he's a great coach. And I think, would it shock you if Cincinnati goes into Kansas City and beats them?
No. I mean, I like what Zach Taylor's done with this team. And a lot of people were really doubting the Bengals this year when you look back on it. I mean, a lot of people were picking them to finish last in that AFC North behind the other three teams, and they came out and won the damn thing. And like you mentioned, dude, that offense is nasty. The defense, they know how to get after the quarterback. I mean, as a Raider fan, I watched what they did to Derek Carr and that abysmal offensive line in the wild card round.
Yep.
And I mean, they're just good, and I think that Joe Burrow, I have a lot of confidence that he will be able to bring a Lombardi Trophy to Cincinnati one day. And honestly, if it happens this year, that would be pretty cool, because I am rooting for anybody but the Kansas City Chiefs to win Super Bowl 56.
Yeah, and dude, if they get past Kansas City somehow, some way, I like their odds against either the Rams or the Niners. And
me too. You just run the ball with Joe Mixon, who has also been an absolute tear this year. Ja'Marr Chase, he's been nasty. You see what he's probably had the best rookie season in a long time.
And it's so funny because right before the season started, he was complaining and like talking about how like the NFL balls are a little bit different.
He was dropping everything. He was
dropping balls in preseason games and practice. And then like, you know, the season starts, he's like, okay, I'm good. I'm actually a stud.
No, he's so nasty. How high do you think he's going to go in fantasy drafts next season? First round pick?
I think the same thing about Burrow. It's like that's one of the – like we talk about, you know, like some of these older quarterbacks, like we've moved on from the Mannings, and we might move on from Tom Brady, it seems like. So it's like some of these younger quarterbacks who have come into the league have been decent, but we're going to miss these like just automatic Hall of Famers the first time you ever see them play. And Joe Burrow is that kind of guy. And then like Ja'Marr Chase and him are like going to be like Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning, it feels like. They're going to be automatic, just can't stop them when you need to the most. And it feels like they're going down that path, and it's so early, obviously. I'm not going to jump to that conclusion that they are Harrison and Manning, but dude, you just love the chemistry from college, from LSU now to Cincinnati, and it's easy to cheer for him because Joey B is just a stud.
Oh no, I love that. I love how they both went to college together, and I really am actually surprised. I've thought about this before. Why do more teams not do that? They go out and they make an effort to get the top guy at their quarterback's college that they played at. I mean, we might see the Raiders do that. I'm sure they're going to make a heavy push for Davante Adams as free agency. Whether they get him or not is beyond me. Would I love to have him on the Raiders? Of course. Who wouldn't want Davante Adams on their team? But the fact that that doesn't happen more often is honestly very surprising.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it works. Right there, Joey Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, they've had a connection for a long time now. And it comes to the league, same style kind of offense that they ran at LSU. And look, it works to perfection. And it's, you're right, it's weird that the more teams don't kind of look at your quarterback and say, hey, who are you already comfortable with? Maybe we should just go out and give him a shot. Even if it's not like, I mean, obviously Ja'Marr Chase is a first-round talent. Like, if the Bengals were to get him, they were going to get him anyway. But if it's, you know, think about, like, Sam Howell coming out of North Carolina this year. Whoever gets him, maybe, like, take a shot at their number one receiver or whoever, either it's in this draft or the next one that comes out, whatever the case is, try to get somebody he's already thrown to a ton.
Yeah, like the Bears, there's a bunch of those. There's a couple of those Ohio State guys coming out in this upcoming draft. And I know the Bears, they don't have a first round pick, but if one of them does fall a little bit, why not go up and get one of those Ohio State receivers? I mean, the Bears offense was abysmal this year.
Oh, God.
And yeah, but the Raiders lost to him because of Khalil Herbert out of Virginia Tech.
Go Hokies, baby.
it's Gokies. I know this now because my sister goes there.
Really?
Yeah, she transferred there from James Madison. She's in her second semester there now. And a lot of my family go there.
Do you say Gokies?
Yeah, like Gokies. Like, I guess it combines Go Hokies. They go.
It's just lazy.
No, it is. But Hokies like a fake bird or some shit. I don't even know.
Yeah, their mascot's stupid, but. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. I don't know. More teams should look down that path, and, you know. Even if it's just like an undrafted free agent kind of situation where, like, you know, the receiver maybe isn't good enough, but he caught a ton of balls from that guy. Just give him a shot. You never know. Like, some guys can stand out right away because of the connection with the quarterback. And I don't know. It's seems like a no-brainer, but yeah, you're right. Not a lot of teams do that.
It's honestly sad, and I really do think that this is what's going to set up the Bengals for a long, successful run, at least in the AFC North. I mean, you're not going to get through Mahomes every year. You're not going to get through Josh Allen every year. You're not going to get through Derek Carr every year. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just memeing right now. I'm just kidding right now. But, I mean, I like the Bengals.
Yeah, I'd like the Bengals, too. I might like them on Sunday, too, but we'll – I want to get closer as the week goes on. I want to kind of feel it out. But speaking, so the we're talking about the Bengals, the team that ended the Raiders season. How did you feel as you're still a diehard Raiders fan? I follow them closely. How did you feel about this season overall? A lot of crazy shit went down. And, you know, a pretty resilient effort, I think, for this entire season. But give me your thoughts from the Raiders season.
I mean, 10-7, second in the AFC West, and really – that's all I could have asked for. They exceeded a lot of people's expectations. Did I think the Raiders could be a playoff team this year? Yes, but the way they did it, and with everything that happened during the season, I know we hadn't recorded an episode in a while, so like we didn't get to talk about the shit when it was relevant, but the whole Gruden thing, the Ruggs tragedy, just one thing after the other, it felt like for a bit there. And the Raiders...
Lots of DUIs.
Lots of DUIs. Nate Hobbs still getting DUIs. You'd think the Ruggs situation would have taught these guys to not drink and drive, but here we are. But yeah, the fact that they got to the playoffs was a miracle. I'm really happy with what Rich Bisaccia did, taking over as the interim head coach. Do they keep him? That's, I really don't know. I don't know. I see the pros and cons about keeping Rich Bisaccia around. I mean... A lot of the guys in the locker room, they were advocating for him. They think that he is the right guy. But do you really think that Rich Bisacci is a guy that can take you to that next level? And a lot of people don't think you're going to be able to get to that next level without like a Jim Harbaugh. A lot of people wanted Josh McDaniels, but there's reports saying that he is no longer the favorite to be the Vegas head coach, and I'm fine with that. You've seen how Belichick assistants are over the last 15 years. They never seem to pan out, and I don't want to have to deal with any of that. But as far as the Raiders 2021 season goes, I was very happy. I mean, it wasn't as crazy as 2016, but they did pull a lot of wins out of their ass. And if the Raiders' motto, Al Davis said it best, just win, baby. And that's really what they did, especially in that last month of the season. For them to pull off a four-game winning streak after just getting bludgeoned in Kansas City, 48-9, they come home. No, they go to Cleveland on a Saturday. No, it got pushed from Saturday to like Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. I mean, yes, they were facing Nick Mullins, but going on the East Coast in the cold after having a game delayed, they pull it out of their ass. They won 16-14. Then they come home. They play Drew Lock. They beat a Broncos team 17-13. They had to hold on, and then they go to the Colts. Big upset. That was basically a playoff game there. And they kick a game-winning field goal. And that's what Derek Carr does. He drives them down. And when you need it the most, he usually gets it done. And then after that, that crazy game, everybody's talked about it. That Sunday night game, the Raiders beat the Chargers 35-32 and make the playoffs. And a lot of people want to say, were they going for the tie? Were they not going for the tie? I really do believe they were going to go for the win. I mean, you play all season long. You're not going to take a knee and let both the Chargers in and you. That's dumb. But I really do think that they made the right choice in kicking it. I understand what the potential ramifications could have been. A blocked field goal, return for a touchdown, all that shit. Whatever. It didn't happen. The odds of it happening were pretty low. The Raiders do have one of, if not the best special teams unit in the league right now with Daniel Carlson and AJ Cole, and they got it done and they got into the playoffs. And yes, the loss to the Bengals sucked. They looked shitty. The O-line was a mess. All five starters had a penalty in that wild card game. But I know this sounds like a loser mentality, but when you've only seen two winning seasons since 2003, I can wholeheartedly say that I was just happy to be there. And will I be just happy to be there next year? No. I want to see improvement. I want to see a playoff run. I want to see how they can build off of this, whether it's with a new coach or with Rich Bisacci. I just, I don't know. It was a great season. It was a great season as a Raider fan. And I like how they lived over everyone's expectations, because a lot of people had us going 4-13 and 5-12. But for the offseason, I do think that the Raiders' biggest needs, they need a number one wide receiver. Davante Adams, obviously, you know, him and Derek Carr played together at Fresno State, and Davante Adams has been quoted to say that it would be a dream to play with Derek Carr again. So, with Rodgers' future in question in Green Bay, do you consider going to the Las Vegas Raiders? And then, we need more offensive linemen. I mean, you cannot have John Simpson and then Dumb and Dumber over on the right side with Leatherwood and Brandon Parker. Brandon Parker's a free agent, so I hope they let him walk.
Yeah, dude, I mean, Leatherwood is your first-round draft pick, too, so it's like you're kind of stuck with the guy.
Yeah, and they moved him into guard because he couldn't handle playing tackle, which is not a good look.
No, I mean, it was dumb on draft night, and it was dumb during the playoff game.
No, it was horrendous. I mean, he was just getting absolutely bullied by Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, any of those guys on the Bengals front seven. But one thing I do want to give credit for, Max fucking Crosby.
Yeah.
I'm glad he finally made a real name for himself this season. I mean, the first year or two, people were debating between Nick Bosa and Max Crosby, and Raider fans were always saying, I promise you, Max Crosby is a better football player than Nick Bosa. And everyone thought we were crazy, but I think this year really solidified that Max Crosby is a better football player than Nick Bosa. And then Yannick Ngakoue, they were just an amazing duo this year. I mean, they were up there in pressures together. They actually got sacks. They didn't get as many sacks as more different other duos got, but they were always putting pressure on the quarterback. And that's not something you see on the Raiders over the last 20 years. So to have an actual pass rush was pretty nice. But despite having a good pass rush, you saw the glaring needs in the secondary and even at the linebacker position. But one guy we got to give props to, I love this dude even when he played for the Chargers. He was a pain in the ass. Denzel Perryman, that guy was just a tackling machine. Led the league in tackles, and he is just a monster. Haven't had a linebacker that good in the middle of the Raiders defense since probably Greg Beeker in the early 2000s. And I'm just really glad we have him around. And then Casey Hayward, another ex-Charger, also an ex-Packer. He was money this year. He didn't give up a touchdown in coverage. And then Nate Hobbs, our rookie slot corner, our fifth-round guy. I mean, he has been a stud too. But we do need another corner. I mean, Trayvon Mullen, I like him when he plays, but he just can't stay healthy. He can't stay on the field, which left us having to watch guys like Brandon Fashion, and you just saw Jamar Chase absolutely eat his lunch at the beginning of the wild card game, and then he would just get burnt throughout the season as well. Like, you just can't really trust the guy. And then Abram, he got hurt as well, but it's Jonathan Abram. His coverage skills aren't that good despite him being able to hit well. But one guy I did like in the secondary this year, and that was Trevon Moehrig. He was our second round pick, which probably should have been our first-round pick over Leatherwood. He was really good this year. He had one pick, but he was solid in coverage. Really what you would expect out of a rookie free agent, a rookie safety. But that is one thing that I think they need to focus on more in the offseason, is forcing turnovers. The Raiders, they were last in the league in interceptions this year. They only had six picks, and three of those interceptions came in the same game at Denver. They just don't know how to force turnovers, and I think that's really what hindered them throughout the season. And when you can't get off the field, it's a pretty big problem. I mean, you look at that Charger game. I mean, yeah, they won, but the fact that they gave up a 4th-and-21 touchdown, so many 4th-and-10s, 4th-and-9-pluses is just disgusting. And it makes me sick thinking about it, because you just let them back in the game when it could have easily been over. But thankfully they won. But then the offense, I'm really happy with what I saw from those guys. Jacobs, he was solid late in the season, but again, another year where he had injury issues. He's a first-round pick, so will they pick up his fourth-year option? His fifth-year option, that remains to be seen. But then Hunter Renfrow, talk about a season, man.
Dude, third and Renfrow, he was insane.
Renfrow was disgusting. Over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards. Haven't seen anybody do that for us since Tim Brown. And Darren Waller, he wasn't as impactful as he was in 2020, but he was also hurt for 5-6 games this season. But when you have other guys in the offense that can make plays, then you don't need Waller to get 10, 11 targets a game like he did in 2020. But one guy I wish we would have seen more out of, and that's Bryan Edwards. He really never had any target. He didn't get many targets each game. Just never seemed to be open. Whenever he was thrown to, it was always a shitty play, always covered, and I was really disappointed with Bryan Edwards. But someone I really did like off this Raiders offense was Kenyon Drake. He broke his foot in the Washington game, and I'm glad he's going to be back next season, but losing him was really such a big hit to that offense, because then we had to see Jalen Richard more. But I'll give credit to Richard. He did make a lot of plays, but what Kenyon Drake brought to this offense, just his versatility in that backfield that we haven't seen in a while, It was just really, really nice to watch. And then Zay Jones, he didn't catch many touchdowns this year, but he was able to come up with a lot of catches to keep drives going and keep the ball and keep the offense on the field, because he had a big game against the Colts with the season on the line. He had over 100 yards, and he didn't catch a touchdown. His only touchdown this season before that playoff game was that overtime winner in week one against Baltimore. But I liked him. If they brought him back, I wouldn't mind. But then something that was really disappointing after the whole Henry Ruggs situation, they brought in DeSean Jackson after he was released from the Rams.
Dog, he had one of the funniest plays of the year, too.
Yeah, that first night, I don't know what the fuck that was, when he just fumbled the ball. Like, I don't know. That was a mess. But I really wish that they had used him more. And that is probably my biggest gripe with this offense this season, besides them having to also settle for field goals. It seems like this team settled for field goals way too often. I'm pretty sure they lead the league in field goals made over the last two seasons or some shit like that. One of those shitty Josh Dubow tweets. Shout out Josh Dubow. I love his tweets, even though he just bashes the Raiders. But yeah, DeSean Jackson, he would only get 9-10 snaps a game on offense, and I just don't understand why they didn't use him more. I mean, there are a lot of plays, and this is probably Derek Carr's fault, where they would send DeSean Jackson on a crossing route, and he just wouldn't throw it to him. Like, DeSean was wide open, probably could have scored a touchdown. I mean, he had that nice touchdown against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Crazy game, by the way. Got to watch that with Lily. She came for Thanksgiving. This has nothing to do with anything, but that was just a crazy-ass game. And, yeah, I just wish they used DeSean Jackson more. And then we've already talked about how horrid that offensive line is. But, yeah, happy with the Raiders. Hopefully they improve next year. Rambling over.
I mean, from an outsider's perspective about the Raiders, as I've taken my Raiders cap off these last couple of seasons, last few seasons, really, just from keeping an eye on them, I think a lot of the fan base that I still see on Twitter, a lot of them come after Carr. And, like, I get it. Carr isn't always the greatest quarterback in the world. I get that. But I don't think a lot of it is on him. And, you know, it's there's been a lot of tough seasons under Carr's wing. But this year, I think Derek wasn't the issue. I think a lot of the time. Play calling on offense was a bit. I mean, their last offensive play of the year against Cincinnati, that fourth and goal is just one of the worst designed plays you could possibly call. You don't even have, you have Waller and Renfro not even running actual routes, and your one option who is running a legitimate route is Zay Jones, and he's blanketed by three guys, and Carr has no choice but to throw it to him because the other two options aren't really running routes. They're just kind of spacing the field out. And that shit just cannot fly in the NFL, dude. Like, you have to be creative, especially near the goal line, and that is where the Raiders struggled the most. And
yes.
Honestly, throughout the season, their red zone defense in its entirety was not good.
It was historically bad.
Yeah, but it got they tightened up against Cincinnati for whatever they found, whatever was they needed for that game. But overall for that season, their red zone defense was terrible and their red zone offense was terrible. So that's priority number one for me. If you're a Raiders fan, is we had to improve inside the 20s, because from 20 to 20, they're fine. 20 to 20, they can run the ball. It's fine. They use Waller well. They get Renfro a ton. And that's what I don't understand. They have the pieces to be good in the red zone.
Right?
They have one of the best tight ends in the game. They have one of the best slot receivers in the game. Why aren't you scoring touchdowns at will? And I think that's where the play calling comes in. And, you know, and you can't be like, obviously, you can't look back and be like, oh, well, darn, I guess they could have called better plays. Like, that has to be better. And
yeah,
that's my one gripe with the Raiders just watching this season, and especially in that Cincinnati game. Just, you can't win playoff games kicking field goals.
I totally agree with that. And the Raiders, actually, their offense was one of the worst in converting third and three or shorter but they were one of the better offenses converting third and seven or longer. It's weird. It's just frustrating. I mean, their third down play calling was just all over the place, and it just cost them. I mean, it was also very predictable as well. I mean, the first down run to Jacobs, and then there was a second down run, or if it wasn't a run, it would be just thrown sideways like some screen shit to Ruggs at first, and then like Hunter Renfrow. I don't know. It was whack. And then we'd be stuck at third and seven or third and 10, and they wouldn't convert it because you need 10, you throw six. And
yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, a lot of shit went down, and I think they were pretty resilient this year. I think it shows how tough the franchise can be. So I want to see that effort when things are going well, too, like when your number one receiver isn't a fucking murderer. And, you know, like, I want to see that when you have the right pieces, because they showed some grit. But how about when you're actually good and you have a lot of pieces, why don't we just be good in general, you know?
Right. So, we Raider fans deserve that.
Gonna have to wait another year, though. Really quick with football, just wrap it up with football. Last season during the playoffs, we kind of rode the Bucks together. We kind of hopped on that Bucks train during the divisional round, and we rode them into the Super Bowl. This year, because the Bucks were the kind of team last year where you looked at them, you're like, they're red hot, they're playing their best, and Tom Brady. This year, I guess that team is the Chiefs, but they win a squeaker because the NFL overtime rule doesn't allow the Buffalo Bills to get the ball after a touchdown. And I think they run into a tough matchup with Cincinnati. There's just not a team this year where you're like, yeah, they're red hot, they're probably going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with that. My pick right now, well, that I want to win the most, is the Rams. I like Matthew Stafford. Lily, yeah, my girlfriend, likes Matthew Stafford, being a Lions fan. So I just want to see him win a ring. So I think it's
so funny that every Lions fan has just hopped on the Rams train. They're like, let's go, fucking Staffy. Come on, buddy.
No, yeah, Lily is so hyped. She's honestly more hyped about this than she was about a Lions game this year.
Yeah, my buddy John is the same way. He's a big Lions fan, but he's like, dude, I want Stafford to win a Super Bowl. That'd be sweet. And it like makes, I guess it like makes you feel better as a Lions fan. You're like, all right, we traded Stafford for, you know, for his benefit so he can win something, so it's good. But you're still left with Jared Goff.
Yeah, that was a disaster. How much do you really want to blame Jared Goff on this season? I mean, the Lions, they were just a shit show. I mean, if you watch football sucked. Even a little bit, you know how bad they were. But I do like Dan Campbell.
I love Dan Campbell. But you know what, dude? They were so competitive. They were, against the spread, they were a winning team. So they're almost there. They're not very far off. They lost a lot of close games. So
yeah,
I think next year they could actually jump. Probably not make the playoffs, but they'll jump quite a bit in that division. But I don't want to dive into the Lions at all.
No, me either. I do agree with you, though. Like, they're a lot better than I don't want to be that guy that says they're a lot better than their record is. But their record could have been a lot better barring one or two plays in a game. I mean,
dude, you know what's, oh, hold on, but with bad teams, so the Lions, obviously, like, their wins this year didn't really mean much. It was just great that they won a few games. The Jaguars, you know what's crazy about them? Their three wins this year, so they beat the Colts and knocked them out of the playoffs, right? They beat the Bills, and that loss is the reason why the game is being played in Arrowhead and not in Buffalo. Like, that's incredible.
That's crazy. Well, can you blame that specific game?
I mean, you lose to the Jaguars.
I blame that too. I mean, my dad and I have said this many times. If the Raiders had missed the playoffs this year, those three losses to Washington, the Giants, and the Bears are magnetized way more than they were in the end of things.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, I agree with that. Yeah. They lose 9-6.
You lose to bad teams, and you're like, why the fuck did we lose to that team, you know? And especially and in the NFL, there is just no excuse. There's no excuse in the NFL for a team like Buffalo, even a team like Indianapolis, to go into Jacksonville and lose. Jacksonville doesn't give a shit. They suck. Urban Meyer was an absolute dumpster fire.
That was a fucking debacle.
Just, God, dude. If you were going to go coach again, why pick the NFL? Just, Jesus Christ, man. But there's just no excuse for teams to lose to squads like that. And, you know, it happens. But it's just, I think the Indianapolis one is just the most ridiculous thing in the world. Like, if you're a Colts fan, I would be ashamed until your next game, because you're... one job was to beat the worst team in the league, and he just got dominated. It's
the Colts haven't won there since 2014, and it's not like the Jags have been good.
Literally, they've been good once.
Exactly, and they haven't won there in 7 years. And I think that's with pathetic. Andrew Luck playing at quarterback. That's with whoever. Yeah, that's mostly with Andrew Luck playing at quarterback.
That's pathetic.
And you're losing at Jacksonville.
There's just no excuse for that. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I think my picks, just real quick for this weekend, I'm gonna ride the Niners because I think they're hot. I think they have the Rams number. Are the Rams due to beat them? Absolutely. Could it be on Sunday? Absolutely. But I'm going to ride the Niners because I think they're a team of destiny right now just to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think they're good enough to win one. I think they'd be it. They're an extremely boring watch for sure. Like,
oh, they are. Ryan Young would definitely agree.
Yeah, they're a grinded out, like, ugly win kind of team. But you know, if it wins games, it wins games in the NFL. They don't really care.
Yep.
But that's how it is. And I want to pick the Bengals so badly, dude. I have my Chad Johnson jersey. I'm gonna be rocking it on Sunday.
Hell yeah! Go Beavs.
Hey, go Beavs. I'm gonna have to pick the Chiefs, dude. I just think there's too much firepower on offense. The Bengals can get after the passer, but I don't think they have enough within their defense entirely to stop the Chiefs. But they did beat them earlier in the season in Cincinnati, though. This is a different ballgame. You're going to Arrowhead. This is playoffs. You've never been in this stage. This is the Chiefs' fourth straight year that they've been in the AFC Championship game. Yeah, they've been here plenty of times. So. I'm going to go Chiefs, Niners rematch in the Super Bowl again. And I guess I'm picking the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
I guess. I mean, that's a fair pick. But I can see why the Niners beating the Rams, and I wouldn't be shocked if it happened for many reasons, including the ones you've listed. But I'm going to go with the heart pick this time. I'm going to pick the Rams to beat the Niners. And then, as much as I want to pick the Bengals as well, I am going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs to beat them. And I do think that this is a stepping stone for the Bengals, though. I mean, you have to learn how to get there before you can get past it. And this is one of those years for the Bengals. Because now they'll come back next year and they'll be like, okay, we know how to get to the championship game. We have the experience. So with another year under their belt, I think that the Bengals could potentially make it next year against Kansas City. But as of now, I'm picking the Chiefs and the Rams. Ugh, dude, I don't want to say that. The Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. Fuck that.
But, well, I mean, they... I don't know.
I really want to pick the Rams. You know what? Just to be contrary to you, I'm picking Rams over Chiefs.
That's fine.
In a shootout.
That's a better matchup. The Niners are just, I feel like they just have McVay's number for whatever reason they do. And I just feel like they're going to win again on Sunday. But I think for the good of football, a Super Bowl to be Bengals or Chiefs is fine. Both of those teams are fun and exciting. But it's probably going to be the Chiefs. If it's not, great. I love cheering for the Bengals. That'd be great. And the Rams, just for the watchability of the Super Bowl, it's way more fun to have two firepower teams going in there. But we'll see on Sunday, man. I'm excited. This is the best time. I give the NFL shit a lot, and like a lot of my friends in California, they give me shit because I'm not a big NFL guy at all. But this is it. Like this last weekend and this upcoming weekend. This is the peak of the NFL. This is the best of the best of the best. And a lot of the time, you know, during the regular season, Red Zone covers up a lot of shitty fucking football, a lot of bad quarterback play, just a lot of shit. But yep. the playoffs is when you can sit down and watch an entire game and be glued to it. If you mm-hmm. sit down and watch an entire regular season game, for the people who don't have Red Zone, I just feel so bad for you, because like, if you live in like an area like me, you have to watch the Texans, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, this is terrible every week. Either throw the ball to Brandon Cooks or get off the field. That's the Texans in the nutshell. And it's like, dude, some of these NFL teams are just not worth watching. But to get to my point, this weekend, this is it. This is the peak of the peak, and I'm excited.
I'm very excited as well. But one, we need to start looking forward to, I mean, it's only a couple months away. Maybe.
College baseball,
whatever. But no.
It's like 25 days away.
The MLB playoffs. Wait, why did I say the playoffs? I don't know what I was thinking.
That's not until October.
That's October. I meant it's been a while, okay. The MLB season is upon us, bearing a lockout, hopefully. Do I think they play all 162 games?
No.
But hopefully baseball can come back sooner rather than later. And
I'm hoping,
it's a shit show. I'm
hoping we get 140 games in.
No, that would be sick. I'm not really that excited about the A's, though, at the moment. Usually around this time is when I start thinking, oh, shit, A's baseball is going to be here before we know it. But after just this whole offseason and just another disappointing, underwhelming season of in 2021, and knowing potentially that the guys are going to get traded, like Chapman and Olsen, and then you lose Marte, which we knew they were going to lose, and then Mark Canna, we also had a feeling we were going to lose him, but I don't know, just with so much uncertainty looming around this franchise when it comes to both on the field play and the whole stadium situation, it's just a real headache to think about, and it's just leaving me not as excited for the MLB as I usually would be.
Yeah, and it's going to be weird, you know, not seeing Bob Melvin as the manager this year.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Kotze is going to be and then Darren Bush is going to be our third base coach. So
at least he's not the hitting coach.
Dude, Tommy Everidge, Babe Everidge, as Ray Fosse called him. Rest in peace to Ray Fosse. Dude, there's just been so much change within the A's organization recently, and
it's sad.
It's a big turning point, and I know there's been some good strides trying to get the stadium in Oakland, but the city of Oakland is being stingy once again. They want them to build a lot more affordable housing, there's no such thing as affordable housing in the Bay Area, so get off that train. Let's just build a stadium, and let's just leave it at that. Thank you very much. Everything else will come in due time, but I digress. It's a long process with that one, and I don't think the MLB is going to be patient enough with them. So there's just a lot going on with the A's right now, and we've seen so many rumors. Oh, Matt Olson, the Yankees are interested in Matt Olson. Oh, now the Braves and the Rangers are interested in Matt Olson. We're like, yeah, do we get
the Mariners
it?
Everybody are interested in Chapman. Yeah.
And the Mariners want Chapman, and so do maybe the Mets. You know, it's just like, yeah, we get it. Like, for Chapman's sake, if he were to go, I wouldn't be like, oh, no, I can't see the world. Dude, Matt Chapman swings at everything. He strikes out way too much. I mean, his defense is obviously elite. And anybody who comes after Matt Chapman, you're going to be like, this guy sucks at third base, because you're so used to seeing Matt Chapman over there.
Yeah.
But as a hitter, Chapman is just not developing. And it's been super frustrating watching that dude struggle. Vice versa with the other side of it, other side of the diamond, Matt Olson. That's one of the best first basemen, if not the one best first baseman in the game. And if you see him go, then it's Titanic season, bro. We're going down. And if that team, if this upcoming season, I know they're kind of holding their guns because of the lockout. They don't want to do too many moves right now because they don't really know what this season holds. And if this season does hold a shorter season, this is the best year to tank.
Yes. I mean, that's a one less year of shitty baseball that we have to watch.
It's less games of shitty baseball.
No, yeah. We know the A's season is definitely not going to be what they were last year or the last couple years. But if we have to watch less shitty A's baseball, that's fine with me, because I'm not trying to go through another 2015 type season. Okay. No, I don't think they'll be that bad. I mean, we still have. You think so?
Maybe. I mean, if they really do the whole thing where, like, yeah, we're dumping Olsen Chapman, we're also going to dump some of the pitching staff. If they do that, then, yeah, we're going to be
then
looking at Zach Neale days.
Oh, no. Yeah, then it'll be hard to be invested
all
into
Blackburn.
Them. Yeah. No, thanks.
Bring back Dylan Overton.
Will you watch much if we do
Where's
trade
Daniel
all those guys?
Mingden?
Daniel Mingden.
That's a good question. I mean, now that I live in a different time zone, dude, just staying up until like 10:30, 11, I think to myself sometimes, like right now for me, I'll record this, it's almost 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night, and I'm thinking the A's first pitch would be in like 10 minutes. Like how much of that
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, I know. And like, I think if the team was good and it's an important series, I'd stick around and watch it and just bite the bullet on the sleep that I get. But I look forward to the days when they come on the East Coast. I look forward to the days when they come to Texas. I know they come to Arlington and they go to Houston, back-to-back series. So my buddy from Utah might come down and we might do a little bit of traveling to go to both series. But
I want to do that one year. Dude, Lily and I will come one day. We can do that.
Yeah, dude. But it's just like this year, though, it'd be like, oh, God, this team. Like, why would I want to watch this team like six straight days? Like, if they're going to be bad, you know? And it makes you just kind of be like, maybe when they're better, because this division ain't going anywhere. So like,
I totally agree. I mean, I'm sure I'll be at a handful of A's games this year since I obviously plan on going out to visit Lily in California. So I'll be at the Coliseum if anybody happens to be there. When do you think you'll be back at the Coli? You're going to be there at all this year?
It's a good question. I don't have any plans as of right now to go back to California until May. So, and that's for a wedding. So I'm not going to have any time to go to an A's game. Yeah. So I don't know, dude. I don't, maybe in the summertime, if I go back home, I don't know if I will or not. It's expensive to fly back. So
tell me about it.
Yeah, dude, it sucks. But, I don't know, dude. I don't know if I'm going to be at the Coli this year. I would like to maybe go at least once, but if the team sucks, man, then it's like, yeah, obviously I'm a diehard A's fan, right? And I hate when people are like, well, you got to be loyal when they're bad. It's like, dude, like, but like, if your favorite band put out a shitty album, are you going to still listen to it even though you don't like it? Like, no, it's the same. Like, you don't have to support a team that's bad. You love them still for sure. You don't have to be like, oh, we got to be there for them even if they're gonna be a 104 loss team. Like, no, you don't have to be there for that. It's
no,
we're
thanks.
Not gonna, I'm not gonna judge you for that. Like, it's great if you go to the games and support them. Like, good for you. I'm glad that you still support a terrible product. But like, it winning obviously brings a lot of things, and with the diehard fans, it shouldn't really change too much winning from losing. But if you're a person like me and you don't live near the team and they're terrible, why would I go see them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll still watch probably a handful of the games, but I don't think it'll be an every night thing now. I mean, I have a full-time job now. I'm not in college anymore. So I have to get up in the morning. The fact that the A's are bad just makes it a little bit easier to actually go to sleep.
And I was living here at the last month of the season in September, and they were still technically in the playoff hunt, but it was pretty much going to be gone within a couple of days. And I stayed up. It was one of the games where Bassett pitched in Seattle, and he pitched well through five innings, and then they pulled him, and then the game went to shit. And I was like, okay, well, if this team isn't going to take this seriously, I'm not either. So bye. And I went to bed. And from that moment on, I don't think I've watched a single game the rest of the season. So I worry about how much baseball I'm going to watch this year, especially the A's. But, I mean, I'm going to watch them when they come to a central time zone or an eastern time zone, because it's going to be easier to watch them. So
oh, yeah.
When it's like that, I'll do it 100% because I still get my California channels on my YouTube TV account, which is great. So when those opportunities come up, I'm going to watch them. When they're on the West Coast, you know, whether they're in Anaheim, Oakland, Seattle, San Francisco, no, probably not.
I totally agree with that. But speaking of bad teams, I want to transition into bad players. And I think this is a really interesting topic, and I've had a hard time thinking about like what my answer would be, because I know I have a couple of these guys in my mind over the years where I've said shit like that.
We could dive into this. So I got this. This is the idea that I came. I was inspired from a TikTok. It's this company that like makes like bat mugs, and they just ask their employees like, "Hey, who's your favorite bat athlete of all time?" And I'm like, "Yo, that's a great question, because everybody can have a different answer. You can just go on and on and on about all these bat athletes over the years that you kind of maybe forgot about." So I just wanted to ask you, and you can get my thoughts as well, on your favorite bad athlete in every core American professional sport. You can dive into some college teams as well, but just give me your favorite bad athlete in your favorite sports. Go.
Let's see. This is hard for me. I don't know if I have like a singular answer, but for football, the Raiders. Oh, I actually do have a great one for this, now that I think about it. Seth Roberts, dude.
Oh,
that's a great one, because, I mean, this dude, during his time in Oakland with the Raiders, he would drop the most wide-open passes, right? But he always seemed to come up clutch when it mattered the most. I mean, how many game-winning touchdowns did Seth Roberts catch it from 2015 to 2017? I remember there was a stat that it was like the Raiders were like 10-1 or something when Seth Roberts caught a touchdown. I mean, he just caught game winner after game winner, clutch catch after clutch catch. So yeah, Seth Roberts is definitely my answer. Denarius Moore, even though he had a good rookie season in 2011. He would also be a good answer. Same with Terrell Pryor, even though he just was absolute dog shit. It was kind of funny. It was funny.
You wanted him to be good, though.
I wanted him to be good, but I'm also more fond of Terrell Pryor more because I would use him in Madden, and I used to be really good at Madden around the time Terrell Pryor was on the Raiders. So I would just terrorize my friends with him, and that's really where my most fond memories of Terrell Pryor are at. So yeah, that's a good answer for me there, and fuck. For the who's yours?
For football, for me, since I'm a big Pac-10, Pac-12 guy, I really wanted Toby Gerhardt to be good in the NFL, because in college at Stanford, it just felt like he was like 6'5", like 250 pounds. And then he got to the NFL, and I was like, who's this midget running for the Minnesota Vikings? And I was like, oh, that's Toby Gerhardt.
Toby Gerhardt.
He was so short. I was like, why does he look so small on an NFL field? I wanted him to be good so bad. And I'm not even a Stanford guy. Like, honestly, I kind of despise Stanford. I think they're annoying. But, like, I wanted him to be good so bad, and he was so terrible. Not a ton of NFL guys, I would say, that like I wanted to be amazing. I mean, a lot of Oregon State players that were, like, just terrible in the league. But, like, they were good at Oregon State.
DeLawrence Grant.
DeLawrence Grant. God, he was such a stud at Oregon State.
My dad told
me. The Raiders made him fat.
No, I told my dad a couple months ago that you like DeLawrence Grant because of you're an Oregon State guy, obviously. And he basically told me that DeLawrence Grant was that generation's Arden Key. So take with that what you will.
Yeah, DeLawrence Grant was an amazing pass rusher at Oregon State. Like one of the best to ever come to the school at that time. And when he went to the pros, like the report was the Raiders like made him gain weight, and they slowed him down, so that was unfortunate. But that's a good answer. Fuck, dude, there's just so many Beaver players that have just not panned out whatsoever in the NFL. Like Sean Mannion, I thought he was going to be so good in the NFL. I was like, this guy can sling it. He won Manning Camp of the Year one summer. At the fucking Manning family quarterback camp, where all these college quarterbacks go, Sean Mannion won. And I was like, dude, that's like a great sign. And he never really got a full shot. And his last start came against Green Bay in that Sunday night game. And he had more rushing yards than Dalvin Cook did. So that's how you know how that one went. I think that's really, I mean, for Raider players, oof. Man,
yeah, it's kind of hard to think about.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you could really pick any you can pick like any decent player that was on the team in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Who was that one safety who played on the Raiders for a while? He's kind of a special teamer. White guy.
Matt Giordano?
No, it, later than that.
Later than that.
Oh. Giordano fucking sucked.
Was he white?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was white.
Special teamer for a while that played for the Raiders. So it was a safety.
And he played safety, I think, a little bit to... Fuck, what was his name?
Around what time? Was he there?
Just a few years ago.
Shit, this is going to bother me.
I know, same. Going to look at like 2019 Raiders roster.
I feel like you're going to tell me the name. I'm going to be like, oh, yeah. Was he there? He was there for a while?
Yeah. I used to always make the joke like, like team captain, team legend.
Raiders okay.
Roster. Okay, this is going to, once I see the name, I'm going to be like, God damn it.
Eric Harris?
Yes!
That fucking guy? Dude, he was only good against the Chargers.
Yeah, every time he made a play, I'd be like, ah, team captain Eric Harris.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I did like him on special teams, but he just couldn't cover for shit.
Yeah, he was terrible.
What he would do, right, is he would fiend off of Phillip Rivers on Thursday Night Football, and he wouldn't do anything for the rest of the year. He's on Atlanta now.
Sounds about right. Yeah, that's probably my entire picks for the NFL. All
right, Eric Harris.
Give me your favorite bad basketball player.
Favorite bad basketball player. Does Lonzo Ball count? No. Okay, I know he's like decent now, but I'm like, since I'm a Laker fan, his time with the Lakers, he was. Like, I still love Lonzo, even though he wasn't good when he was on my team. Not that I've been following the Lakers much lately, but yeah, Lonzo Ball is probably my answer for that. Definitely. I still wear my Big Baller Brand shirts. And, and then another guy, just because he was like a big meme between my friend Michael and I, who's also a Laker fan, we loved Robert Sacre.
Oh, dude!
That guy was so dog shit.
Big Bob,
yeah, Robert Sacre. And then in high school, I was a big Terrence Ross guy. I don't know why. I just loved Terrence Ross.
He wasn't terrible.
But he wasn't like what he was supposed to be. I know he's on the Magic now. I don't know how well he's doing, but Terrence Ross. And then, I mean, I like Denzel Valentine because. Michigan State. Like, I just like any of those Michigan State guys, really.
Yeah. So, I have a couple of answers. From when I was a kid, the first basketball game I ever went to, we got tickets through my church. It was, like, this thing called the All-Nighter event, and you would pretty much just be out all night. So, you did, like, you started the night with dinner at, like, a Mountain Mike's on Main Street in Pleasanton. It was Round Table because it was this huge building on Main Street in Pleasanton. It's now like a coffee and tea place. So we'd start the night there, and then we would go. We went to the Warriors game, so we drove all the way to Oakland for the Warriors game. And back then, this is when Bob Sura was on the team.
Bob Sura.
That was like my first favorite player in the NBA because I was like, "Who's this white dude with blonde hair like out here dribbling around like a crazy man?" He's one of my first bad players. I wanted to be good. He was decent. Bob Sura for sure. I love Steven Jackson in high school. He wasn't in middle school too. He wasn't. Like terrible, but I just loved Steven Jackson because he was just so fucking gangster, and he would just bang threes all the time. I still have a Steven Jackson old school Warriors jersey.
That's dope.
And my most recent one, he's actually turned out to be good. It's another Warriors player, but he did play for the Lakers for a short time. He played for the Wizards for a short time. He's kind of bouncing around, being a G League guy. He went to Oregon State. Gary Payton II, and. He was just not very good to start his professional career. It kind of thought his dad even said during an interview during the Pac-12 tournament, it was the year after Gary left Oregon State. They were like, hey, it was 2 years after Gary left Oregon State because he was a senior and he graduated. And
they asked his dad, they're like, hey, how's Gary doing in the pros? And his dad was all like, yeah, like year three next year is like his big year. Because like if he doesn't make that step, he's probably going to be stuck in this loop of G League ball. And then he might go overseas. And then he might be kind of screwed. You know, he might be done. Like it could be like a 6-7 year career for him. But it's weird because his year three wasn't very good. He was still kind of bouncing up and down from G League to an active roster for a couple of nights back down to the G League. And then, dude, this year with the Warriors, he has just exploded. He has been so good. And it's because he has improved his three-point shot a ton. And he's just such a great defender. I mean, obviously, who his dad is, like who he is. He's a great defender. He's so savvy. He's small, but he plays bigger. And he can dunk. And this year has been so fucking great to see him succeed because that dude works his ass off. And he brought Oregon State back to being decent at basketball, but obviously this year they're fucking terrible. So I love GP too. He was like my most recent like bad player wanting to be good, and now he is good. So it's like a whole whirlwind for me.
That is a good pick. I mean, I just know that he's balling out because I see you and Ryan always talking about him in the Grill and Chill chat.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he has like a crazy dunk once a week.
I should try getting back into the NBA, especially with football dying down.
I don't watch a lot of basketball. I just watch the Warriors because I want to watch GP2.
I mean, I respect that. Shit. Okay. Okay, I was just thinking about this. Does Steven Vogt count? Does that count or no?
I mean, I think if you ask any baseball fan who isn't an A's fan, they'd be like, yeah, Steven Vogt kind of sucks. But, like, he's such a good dude. He's so funny. He's so likable.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And, like, when he came to the A's, it was that whole, like, oh, he's 0 for 20-something with the Tampa Bay Rays at the time, and the A's picked him up. And his first game, he homers. You're like, hell yeah. Yeah, he definitely counts.
Okay, yeah, mine's Steven Vogt, but really, I can pick anybody from that, like, 2015 to 2017 stretch. Like, I'm looking at these rosters right now. I remember I really liked Danny Valencia, even though he was bad for most of his time with the A's. But he had that,
I remember that stretch where he was just, like, insanely hot?
Yeah.
It was like Kevin Kuzmanoff, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's my guy. Kuzmanoff. That's one of my answers as well. Kevin Kuzmanoff. I'm looking at the 2015 A's roster. Let's see the 2016, just to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Ryan Healy, that was a guy.
Ew, he's a duck.
My favorite. This was like an OG A's Twitter meme. I wasn't really an A's Twitter at this time, but someone wrote 48 Healy up on next to Ricky Henderson and Reggie Jackson and all those guys. And I thought it was the funniest fucking thing. I don't know why I remember this. But yeah, Ryan Healy, Jake Smolinski. I mean, he had that one good play.
Okay. Smolinski. Yeah, he had that big homer against San Francisco.
But I would say my two best answers were probably Valencia and Steven Vogt.
Okay. I have a handful of answers for the A's, at least. For baseball. Okay. So my number one, if you know me and you've known me for a long time.
I know this.
Bobby Crosby.
Yeah.
100%. He's still my guy. Love him. Hope he manages the A's one day. Just wanted him to be good so bad. And he was in 04. It's just after that, he just never was. And I felt like everybody got off his train so fast and I was the only one still on it. And that heartbreaking. But I did meet him a couple of times as a kid, and I couldn't speak. I was just like so starstruck around him. Bobby Crosby's number one for sure. Ryan Sweeney.
Oh, that's a name.
Yeah, dude. Wanted Ryan Sweeney to be good so bad. Just how are you 6'4", 230, and can't fucking hit a homer?
True.
that guy would hit like 275, four homers, and he would play like 150 games.
God damn.
Oh, dude. He was so annoying, but I loved him. I wanted to be good so bad. Andy Parrino.
That's a name.
Yeah, dude, wanted him to be good so bad because his fielding on MLB, before they called it the show, it'd be like MLB 08,
his fielding would be like 98, but his hitting would be like 19.
That checks out.
He was so bad, dude. Rivercat legend. Yeah, he was one of them. This one, Matt Watson, didn't really get that many chances with the A's. Another Rivercat legend. Just a terrible player that you wanted to be good. I wanted him to be good so bad because I remember one time I was in fourth grade and my grandpa lived in Sacramento. So every time we went to go visit him during baseball season, we'd go to a Rivercats game if they were in town. And I made a sign, and for some reason this game was on FSN at the time when they called it Fox Sports Net. And I got on TV and like my sign said like, "Go Rivercats. Go Matt Watson." And I was like, why did I say go Matt Watson? I think I just looked up the roster and like looked at who played the night before and who had a good game. And I was all like, oh, Matt Watson, that's cool.
And then that's funny.
He was up that inning and he hit a homer. And then the next time he got up, he struck out on a bad call and he got ejected.
Perfect day like, for a sign like
I
that.
I was like, this guy's a badass. I love him. And he got like a very small stint with the A's. He was not good. Another one, Michael Taylor.
Yes, Michael Taylor.
Yeah, not Michael Taylor from the Nationals and whoever team he's fucking with now. Michael Taylor from Stanford, number 23. Dude, this dude, a part of the Michael Taylor and Chris Carter kind of thing where everybody was obsessed with them when they were coming up in the A's organization. Everyone's like, oh, dude, Taylor and Carter are coming up soon. And they both just fucking sucked.
Chris Carter had a couple solid years.
Yeah, he hit a ton of homers. Remember that one year Chris Carter led the league in homers, and the next year nobody wanted to sign him?
Yeah. Didn't he have, 40-something homers?
Yeah, dude. And nobody – he, like, didn't get signed. He got signed to, like, a minor league deal, and everyone's like, what's going on? And everybody was right. He was a weirdo. But Michael Taylor, man, he just seemed like such a good dude. He had that one huge hit in a game to lead to a walk-off that, like, literally landed on the right field line. And, God, dude, he was supposed to be so good. I remember actually watching him at Stanford, and it was against Oregon State, and he was scoring on a play, rounding third, and, like, here comes Michael Taylor, who's, like, 6'4", 215, 220. He's a big boy coming down the line. And the catcher at the time for the Oregon State Beavers was Mitch Canham, who now coaches the team. And Mitch Canham's aunt was in the stands, and she bought, like, my dad and I tickets to the game because she was like, oh, go ahead, you guys can go free. I have extra tickets. So we, like, bought her a lemonade. And we're thinking, Michael Taylor's coming down the line. And, like, my dad looked at her, and she looked at him, and she was like, he's about to die. And Michael Taylor slid, and he didn't run over the catcher. And from that moment on, I kind of thought, like, in the back of my head, I was like, Michael Taylor's kind of a pussy. But I wanted him to be good so bad, dude. And he just wasn't.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, I don't.
These bad athletes.
Dude, I can go on and on and on about the A's ones. I mean.
Oh, yeah. We should make a whole episode about it. Just one of these off-season weeks.
Probably could. Let me try to think of one more.
I got one while you were sitting here talking. He never played for the A's, but Justin Bour.
Oh, hell yeah. George Mason, baby.
You already know. That's the only reason why, because he's a Patriot.
True. I mean, he had a decent year, but didn't he go to Korea or Japan?
Yeah, last I checked, he was in Korea somewhere.
Yeah.
Or Japan. I don't know. He's over in one of those Asian countries.
Wow, dude. Oh, dude.
What?
Jack Hanahan.
That's a good one.
He was so good on defense. I feel like nobody really talks about how good of a defender he was, but he'd be hitting 220 every year.
Yeah. Sounds like 2020 Chapman.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Literally.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, give me a quick college football one, a bad player that you wanted to be good, if you can think of one.
A bad college football player that wanted to be good in the pros or just in college?
That you wanted to be good just in college. I mean, like, I could maybe, like, nobody's ever heard of him ever.
Oh, shit. I'm trying to think of, like, some of those Michigan State teams. I honestly, I can't think of one right now.
This is a hard one because there's like, it's hard to think about bad college football players because.
Oh, Hunter Rison, Andre Rison's kid.
Oh, that's a good one. Wow.
He was on Michigan State. Then he transferred out of Michigan State. He went to Kansas State. And then he got in trouble somewhere. No, he's at some like D2 school last time I checked. I looked not too long ago. But yeah, Hunter Rison, just because I'm a big Andre Rison guy, wanted to see his son do good as well. That's my answer.
That's a good one. As a kid, I remember my dad used to always talk about this guy named Harvey Witten. He went to Oregon State, and they would always call him hard-hitting Harvey Witten. And complete bust. Just terrible. He actually, during the Civil War in 2003, he got knocked out during a game, and an ambulance came on the field and like stopped the game for like 45 minutes. And it was Harvey Witten who had to come off the field. And that was heartbreaking because everyone's like, oh, his career's over. And it was. But, yeah, he was one of the players that was bad that we all wanted to be good. But that, yeah, that one's kind of a hard one. I think I can think of a few for college basketball, but it won't be any fun. I mean, like Jimmer Fredette going from college to pro, like you wanted that dude to be good, and he just didn't.
Yeah,
do
he
anything.
Sucked. I mean, there's a lot of those guys you can think of, like Jahlil Okafor.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Really, any of those like big name busts that just sucked.
Yeah. Oh, maybe like Brandon Weeden for football, too.
Yeah, I didn't really care. I mean, it was just Brandon Weeden. He was just a guy to me.
He was bad, but you wanted him to be good. Because he's so old.
Not Johnny Manziel, though.
Ooh. He's a douche lord.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't care for him.
Yeah. That's all I had, man.
That's all I have, too. It felt good to get back on the mic with you. Not really sure when our next episode will be because, you know, off-season, but
whenever we fucking feel like it.
You already know Rance and Rob. Shout out to Dakota. Shout out Kobe. Shout out Nick. Shout out Jonathan, Ryan Neron, and Alex, the Grill and Chill Boys. Shout out my lovely girlfriend, Lily.
Shout out to Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk, I was getting there as well. I know he's going to listen too because he's our biggest fan. But thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon. Go A's, Raider Nation. Shout out. I don't know what I'm saying. I just need to end the episode.
Go Beavs.
All right, see ya.
It's the morning after a big loss in a college town. Everybody's hungover and sad. The tailgaters pack up their stuff and go home. And when the rankings come out, we'll be gone. Oh, an afterthought to the rest of the country. Well, kinda like you. To be, but you know.